We're talking about the life of chef and writer Edna Lewis this hour. And there's this terrific book called Edna Lewis, At the Table with an American Original. It's a collection of stories and essays by all kinds of people who knew her or were inspired by her or who studied her. And truthfully, it was kind of the inspiration for our approach for the show, like using different voices and each showing a sliver of what she meant to the world. Sarah Franklin is a writer and educator and was the person behind that book. And she joins us now. Hey, Sarah, thanks so much for coming in today.
It's a pleasure, Francis.
So I am really interested in how you got interested in the work of Edna Lewis. I think we're both in the same boat in that we never knew her personally. We never met her.
That's right.
But are both fascinated and inspired by her. So tell me how you got to be that way.
I was introduced to her through Gourmet magazine in 2008 when the editors published an entire issue devoted to the American South. Mm-hmm. And they built that issue around an essay that had been published posthumously written by Miss Edna Lewis called What is Southern? Mm-hmm. And in this essay, Miss Lewis positioned the culture of the American South and the culture of the African American South in particular alongside the kind of workaday quotidian work of kitchens and also alongside music and literature and painting and other forms of art. Mm. And for me, it was this incredibly striking moment as someone who was interested in food and really desperately wanted to get involved in the work of food. It was a really key moment in sort of seeing what it was like to try to put food alongside these other bastions of culture mm-hmm. and to try to make sense of that. And I had never heard of Edna Lewis before that. I loved cookbooks. I loved cooking. But I had no idea who she was. I didn't know much about the American South. I didn't come from there. I grew up in New York. And I sort of quickly realized I needed to know who she was. So I ordered some of her books and I read them and fell in love with her. And it was many years later that I was working with Edna Lewis's editor, Judith Jones, who is the editor that also published Julia Child and Modern Jaffrey and, the list goes on, Claudia
Anne
Roden
Frank.
And, yes, the Diary of Anne Frank, famously.
A legend, publishing.
And really sort of the canon of American cookbook authors, or English writing, I should say, cookbook authors. And she published Edna Lewis's most famous book, The Taste of Country Cooking, in 1976. And in interviewing Judith Jones about her work, it became apparent to me that her book that she did with Miss Lewis was a real hinge point for her, that she turned away from working primarily with authors who were writing about international cuisines and cultures to someone who was writing very explicitly about American cuisine and culture and a very particular region within America. And for me, it was the sort of stand up, sort of snap to attention and pay attention moment in Judith Jones's career of what it meant in, you think about the kind of mid-70s, what was going on politically in this country and the women's movement, civil rights, the Vietnam War has come to an end. I mean, this really tremendous moment of conflict and confusion, I think, around our identity.
Yeah.
What it meant to publish a book from the perspective of an African-American woman about the American South, the rural American South, and through the perspective of a home cook. And it just, I think for many people who've come across that book, it was this really beautiful piece of writing. It was extremely political in its sensibility and sort of unflinchingly direct. It was making a statement, but it was not going to jam it down your throat.
Yeah.
And you needed to kind of be ready to receive it and her in your own time. And I think for a lot of people, that's come late, many, many decades after its original publication.
What do you mean by receive it in that, when you say that came late?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. You can read The Taste of Country Cooking and love it as a cookbook and sort of leave it at that. The recipes are wonderful. The prose is lyrical and beautiful. It writes of living on a farm in a farming community in a rural part of Virginia and sort of moving through the seasons, the work of foraging, of working in the fields, of putting food up in the kitchen, of eating alongside one another. But if you read more closely, if you look at the way the menus are organized, the sort of holidays that are being celebrated like Revival or Emancipation Day, this is a work of African-American history in the American South and of really giving dignity to that culture as its own entity in a lot of ways that's separate from white American culture.
So I wrote a story about Edna Lewis a number of years ago, and in my research for that story, I called you up and spoke with you, and you inspired me to think of a lot of things that I didn't think of before, including, I think, this idea of The Taste of Country Cooking as being, in a lot of ways, a political work. Like you said, it's beautifully written, and it's very easy, as a friend of mine put it, to think of Miss Lewis as, oh, just a sweet old lady.
Yes.
A sweet old lady writing about her time growing up in the country. But I was struck by how she positioned the life of black people, rural black people in the early 1900s, Black people who, her grandparents, who are the people who founded the community she grew up in, were enslaved.
Mm-hmm,
like they were freed right. slaves at one point.
That's right.
And I think if you think of that story, you'd imagine a story that was one of hardship and, you know, just trying to scrape by. And she writes about it like the most beautiful society, the most beautiful community. It was a life of beauty. Literally, children are singing in the book.
Yes.
Right? And I thought that was so powerful and so remarkable to say, hey, whatever stereotypes you have of us,
mm-hmm.
if you're not including the fact that we created this beautiful cuisine, your stereotypes are wrong.
That's right.
And that's a profoundly political thing.
It's a massive corrective, I think, to so much of what had been written and what continues to be written, that the life of the American South and Black culture within that large regional culture, large series of regional cultures, was one of just hardship and poverty. And that even though these may have been communities that were financially poor, their life was rich. And that it included bounty. You know, if this community had nothing else, they always had food on their table and lots of it.
Yeah.
And things that we think of sort of still as luxury foods, meats, cream, butter, foraged mushrooms from the forest. I mean, this is stuff that people pay top dollar for now.
Yeah.
And this was, you know, this was everyday food by virtue of the life they had created for themselves.
Yeah. Like they're literally making souffles in their kitchen at home.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's also this fierceness to it, too, that I think is so... Again, maybe subtle, and maybe I'm reading stuff into it that wasn't intended to be there. But there's a scene I remember, a small chapter called Hog Killing. And she describes the tradition of, you know, when you slaughter the hogs in the fall and how they put up all the different parts. And there's this really incredible image of, and they take the bladders out and they blow the bladders up like balloons and tie them. And those are their Christmas ornaments when they're dried, like, you know, several months later.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, can you imagine? Like being that close to the guts, right? Literally.
Mm-hmm.
And, but also I remember reading it and the way she describes the hogs after they've been slaughtered.
Mm-hmm.
It almost sounds, I mean, the way she describes them being hanging quietly like statues, it's like that song Strange Fruit, right?
Mm.
It's almost like a lynch scene. And then I found later that when she was young, there was a Black man in a nearby community to hers who was lynched after he had talked to a white woman and asked her to help them with their hog killing.
Yeah.
And I have no idea if that's what she intended to be a connection, but it's like now, you know, this many years hence, understanding history, or hopefully understanding history as we do, and it's all its realness, and the reality of it, I can't help but think, but, you know, Miss Edna had those things in her mind, certainly. I don't know if she wrote them in that scene, but...
Yeah, I think that's what I'm alluding to with the sense that she was so unflinching in her prose, you know, that there was incredible frankness in what she presented you with, whether it was beautiful or difficult or often both at the same time, and that she was going to say it sort of quietly. And many people who knew her spoke of her as being a fairly quiet woman. She often didn't say more than needed to be said, and sometimes she said nothing at all. But if she was going to open her mouth or put pen to paper, it was going to be with clarity. It was going to be concise. And she wasn't going to dart away from hard truths. And then she was just going to sort of place it there and leave it there. And you can receive it, you know, for the beautiful side, or you can read it for the difficult side. Or if you're ready, you can try to find both, you know, the paradox in that. And I think therein lies her brilliance.
Yeah. What an incredible, incredible life. Thank you so much, Sarah.
It's been my pleasure, Francis.
Sarah Franklin is the editor of Edna Lewis, At the Table with an American Original. She teaches food writing at NYU, and she's also working on a book on Judith Jones, Miss Lewis's legendary editor.